All right, so today we're diving into some pretty fascinating territory, immigration law and due process.
Yeah, it's an area where you see a real tension between, the need for immigration enforcement and also making sure everyone gets a fair shake regardless of their citizenship status.
Right. And this case, United States versus Ramirez-Diaz, really gets at the heart of that.
What's interesting to me is that it all comes down to what some people might see as a small procedural error, but it had huge consequences.
So let's start with the basics. Who is Vicente Ramirez-Diaz, and how did he end up in the middle of all this?
Well, he came to the US when he was just 13 years old. So you're talking about someone who spent decades here, built a life, got married, had kids who are all US citizens.
So not someone who just crossed the border recently. This is a guy with deep roots in the U.S.
Exactly. And back in 2011, he got caught up in the expedited removal process, which is meant to be fast. But even so, there are still due process requirements.
Right, you can't just skip over basic fairness even when you're trying to move things quickly.
Yeah.
So, where did things go wrong for Ramirez-Diaz?
Well, the key piece of evidence is this form, Form I-860, which is supposed to spell out the charges against someone in removal proceedings.
Okay.
And in Ramirez-Diaz's case, there's no record that he ever signed that form, and it's not clear whether he even understood the charges against him.
So this seemingly small detail about the signature becomes the linchpin of the whole case.
So fast forward to 2017, he's found in Oregon and gets indicted for illegal reentry under 8 USC, Section 1326, because of that 2011 removal order. But his lawyer argued that that order shouldn't stand because of the due process issue with the I-860.
So they're basically saying you can't just remove someone without making sure they understood what they were being accused of in the first place.
Exactly. And so the defense filed a motion to dismiss the indictment, arguing that the entire removal process back in 2011 was fundamentally unfair.
There's that phrase again, fundamental fairness. What did that actually mean in a legal sense?
It boils down to two main questions. First, did the government violate Ramirez-Diaz's right to due process? And second, if so, did that violation actually prejudice him? Meaning, could things have turned out differently if he'd been given a fair chance to fight the charges?
So it's not just a technicality, it's about whether that technicality actually impacted the result.
Right. And when it comes to challenging a removal order, especially when it leads to an illegal reentry charge like this, there's a three-pronged test the courts use.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so first, did the defendant try to appeal the removal order through the proper channels? Second, were they unfairly blocked from accessing the courts? And third, was there fundamental unfairness in how the removal process was carried out?
That third prong seems kind of subjective. How do you prove that something was fundamentally unfair?
Well, you have to show two things: a violation of your due process rights and prejudice that resulted from that violation.
Okay, so in Ramirez-Diaz's case, we've got that missing signature on the I-860, which could point to a due process issue. But how do you prove prejudice? How do you show that things might have gone differently if he'd had more time or a lawyer?
That's where plausible relief comes in. Even if Ramirez-Diaz wasn't guaranteed to win his case, if there were factors that made some kind of relief plausible, meaning an immigration official could have given him leniency, then the prejudice argument gets a lot stronger.
So let's talk about those factors. What was there in his situation that might have led to a different outcome if he'd had a real chance to present his case?
Well, remember, he'd been living in the US for a really long time. He had a US citizen spouse and kids. He had a job, and his criminal record was pretty minor. We're talking misdemeanors, nothing violent. Those are all things an immigration official could consider when deciding whether to grant some form of relief.
So the argument is that those mitigating factors weren't properly considered because of the flawed process?
Precisely. And there's a specific form of relief called withdrawal of application that could have been on the table. In his case, it basically allows someone to leave voluntarily without a formal removal order on their record.
Which is obviously a much better outcome than being deported and then facing illegal reentry charges later on.
Exactly. And the court really zeroed in on the fact that this shouldn't just be some bureaucratic box-checking exercise. They were looking at the human impact, the impact on his family, his history in the US, all of it.
So it sounds like the judge was saying, look, even if he wasn't a citizen, he still deserved a fair shot at presenting his case.
That's a good way to put it. By not making sure he understood the charges against him and his options, the government essentially denied him the chance to even argue for a better outcome.
So just to be clear, the judge ultimately ruled in Ramirez-Diaz's favor.
Yes. Judge Aiken found that the government didn't prove that Ramirez-Diaz had knowingly and voluntarily waived his right to fight his removal and that he was prejudiced by that lack of due process.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit and talk about the bigger picture. What are the implications of this ruling? Does this mean that anyone facing expedited removal can just claim due process and get their case thrown out?
Not necessarily, but this ruling definitely raises the bar for using expedited removals as the basis for illegal reentry charges under Section 1326. It's a message to immigration enforcement agencies that they need to be really careful about documenting everything and making sure people understand their rights.
No more cutting corners.
Not if they want those removal orders to hold up in court. This case puts a premium on thoroughness and transparency.
And for lawyers who are handling cases like this, it really highlights how important it is to dig into those removal records. You never know what little detail could be important.
Yeah, you really have to scrutinize everything. This case is a win for due process, and it's a reminder that those rights apply to everyone, citizen or not.
We were talking about Form I-860 before, how it played such a big role in Ramirez-Diaz's case. It's more than just a piece of paper, right?
Right. It's supposed to be a safeguard, a way to make sure that someone going through expedited removal actually understands what they're being accused of and what the consequences could be.
So it's not enough for immigration officials to just show someone the form and say, see you later.
No, not at all. The court made it clear, just showing the form isn't enough. You have to prove that the person actually got it, understood what it said, and had a chance to respond to the charges.
And in Ramirez-Diaz's case, that evidence was missing.
Exactly. No signature on the form and no other documentation to show that he'd been informed of his rights or given a chance to fight the charges.
Which brings us back to plausible relief. Can you talk a little bit more about how that concept works in practice?
Sure. So the court found that even though Ramirez-Diaz wasn't guaranteed to win his case, there were enough factors in his favor that made some kind of relief plausible.
So even if he didn't have a slam dunk case, the possibility of a better outcome was enough to establish prejudice.
Yes. You have to remember, he'd built a life in the U.S. over many years. He had family here, and his criminal record was relatively minor. Those factors meant that an immigration official could have reasonably given him leniency.
Let's talk about that discretion for a second. It seems like immigration law gives officials a lot of power to make judgment calls.
It does, and that's where things can get tricky. But in this case, the court is saying that even with that discretion, there still needs to be a fair process. You can't just deny someone their due process rights and then say, oh, well, we might have been lenient anyway.
So it's about holding the government to a consistent standard, no matter what the specifics of the case are.
Exactly. That standard includes things like giving proper notice, making sure the person understands the charges, and giving them a real chance to present their side. You can't just bypass those steps and expect the courts to automatically uphold a removal order.
This case seems like it could have big implications for how immigration enforcement happens going forward.
I think so. This ruling sends a strong message to agencies like ICE and CBP that they have to be incredibly meticulous about their procedures and documentation, especially when it comes to due process.
It's like those terms and conditions we all click agree to online without reading them. We just assume everything's on the up and up, but sometimes there are crucial details buried in the fine print.
That's a good analogy. And when we're talking about immigration law, those overlooked details can have life-altering consequences. This ruling is a win for lawyers working on these types of cases because it gives them more leverage to challenge removal orders that were obtained through questionable procedures.
So it's about being a thorough advocate for your client, leaving no stone unturned.
Exactly. And second, don't be afraid to highlight the humanitarian factors in your client's case. Things like family ties, how long they've lived in the U.S., whether they have a job, and the nature of their criminal history. All of that can play a role in convincing an immigration official to use their discretion favorably.
So it's not just about the legal technicalities. It's about showing the human side of your client's situation.
You got it. And finally, use this case as precedent. Challenge any Section 1326 charges where there's a question about whether the original removal order was obtained fairly.
It's about setting a higher bar for how these cases are handled.
Precisely. This ruling has the potential to really shift the landscape of immigration lawmaking, fairness, and due process the priorities regardless of someone's citizenship status.
That's a powerful thought.
Yeah.
I think that's a great place to wrap up this segment. We'll be back after a short break to discuss the lasting legacy of Ramirez-Diaz and what we should be watching for in the future of immigration law. We've been really digging into this immigration law case, United States versus Ramirez-Diaz, and I think it's safe to say it's been anything but, you know, a dry legal analysis.
Yeah, I agree. There are so many different angles to this case, due process, the whole expedited removal system, the importance of those human factors. It really shows that legal precedent isn't just about words on paper. It's about real people's lives.
For our listeners out there who maybe aren't lawyers but still find this kind of stuff interesting, what would you say is the key takeaway from this case?
I think it's that due process really matters. It's the foundation of our legal system, and it applies to everyone, no matter their immigration status. The government can't just cut corners, especially when someone's freedom is at stake.
It's like that saying, justice delayed is justice denied, but here it's more like, due process denied is justice denied.
Exactly. And this case shows that the courts are willing to hold the government accountable when those fundamental rights are violated.
It's a victory for fairness, for sure, but it also feels like a wake-up call for immigration enforcement agencies.
Definitely. It reminds them that they have to be incredibly careful, detail-oriented, and above all, fair in how they handle these cases. No more cutting corners.
And for lawyers who are working on similar cases, like you said earlier, this ruling gives them a powerful tool to challenge removal orders that were obtained through questionable means.
It sets a precedent that could have a ripple effect throughout the entire immigration legal system.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into this case, what do you see as the lasting legacy of United States versus Ramirez-Diaz? What should we be keeping an eye on in the future?
Well, I think we're going to see more challenges to removal orders, especially those based on expedited removals where there are due process concerns. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see some changes in policy within those agencies. Maybe more focus on documentation and making sure individuals really understand their rights during these proceedings.
It's like the system is trying to correct itself, making sure everyone gets a fair chance, regardless of their circumstances.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And it's a reminder that the law is always changing cases like this. This one can have a real impact on how the law is interpreted and applied in the future.
This deep dive has given us a lot to think about. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
It really makes you wonder what other cases are out there that could potentially change the legal landscape. Ramirez-Diaz shows us that these legal battles aren't just theoretical. They have real-world consequences, and individual cases can make a difference.
It's a powerful reminder that even in a complex system like immigration law, the fight for individual rights is so important. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deeper.